welcome to the Friday Filibuster. This is Dave, and I've got Mac right here.
How can do.
And Eric.
Hello.
In the third chair, I guess. Is that what it is? Second chair? Third chair? Is there such a thing as a third chair?
Well, I'm kind of hanging off there. I'm sitting on Mac's armrest.
Okay, yeah, you're on like the fourth.
We need to get another chair in here.
So anyway, Friday Filibuster, you know how this works. Kill some time, get you ready for your weekend. Let's cut the chit-chat a-hole and get right to the right things. Mac, what is your report?
Let's see. Facebook is trying to convince me to buy a cardboard skull replica in one of their ads.
Oh, no. It says, do they figure you're a cardboard skull replica type?
I don't know. Is that a replica made of cardboard, or is it a replica of a cardboard skull? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I have that as well. I'm targeting right underneath a Visit Florida ad.
So are you asking whether cardboard has a skeletal structure, or if you stripped away the outer cardboard, there would be a skull?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
I guess.
In other news,
smashing start.
In other news, the big word around the internet these days is the trailer was just released for Quentin Tarantino's Django, just coming out. It's Christmas. Have you guys seen the trailer yet?
I have.
Yeah, I watched it today.
So, what'd you think?
I think it looks great. I've really enjoyed his last few movies. I've kind of become a big Quentin Tarantino fan over the recent past few years, so I'm looking forward to it big time.
I haven't seen anything he's done since Kill Bill Volume 2, which I did not enjoy much at all. So
really?
Missing out on some good stuff, I understand, but I don't know. So I guess I don't. It doesn't get my dander up as as much as other. I mean, the movie, you know, it certainly looks, you know, it certainly looks interesting and. Sure, it'll be good, but I haven't been a Tarantino guy since Volume 2 left me cold.
Wow.
I know.
This trailer sort of gives me maybe the historical vibe of Inglourious Basterds, which was a great movie. So maybe that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just having a Christoph Waltz there, it sort of reminds you of
right.
Inglourious Basterds. He's playing sort of a similar smarmy character. And Jamie Lee Foxx looks really great in the title mm-hmm. role. I'm not sure about Leo. I've got my fingers crossed that he'll be able to pull off the villain thing, but I'm not entirely convinced, but I hope he'll pull it off.
You just see his character from Growing Pains every time you see him, right?
That's right. Yeah. He was the homeless kid that they brought over for Christmas. Yeah.
The attempt to inject some life into the show and aging Chrissy like 8 years. All right. So is that it? Just psyched for the trailer?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I was working all weekend, so didn't get to see any movies. But,
all right. All right. We won't hold that against you. Eric?
I finally got a chance to see The Muppets. I saw it on Blu-ray. Got it from the library.
Very good.
Love the library. And it was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
So it's not Muppets and not Muppets in Space or Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah, no, it's better. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of the new Muppet movies. I think I saw half of Treasure Island and was so bored I stopped watching it.
Yeah. Curry doesn't bring a lot to the Muppet universe, does he?
Nah, I guess not. The problem with in Muppet movies, the people are usually the weakest part of the movie. It's true in Muppets Take Manhattan. I think that's probably one of the big problems is that it focuses so much on the people. You get a bit of that here as well. Jason Segel, you know, I like Jason Segel. I like Amy Adams. But, you know, they are not what I want to watch a Muppet movie for. I mean, this movie certainly harkens back to the old movies and the old TV show, which is good. But it's really kind of drawing so much from nostalgia that it's not creating its own thing. You know, the Muppet movie and Great Muppet Caper, they have nothing to do with nostalgia. They're just telling great Muppet stories. This one is kind of all about nostalgia for the Muppets, and so I think it uses that as a bit of a crutch. So it was fine. It was okay. I didn't, you know, it's just not as good as the original trilogy, as I call it.
Yeah. All right. Boy, what's going on here? Not a ton. I guess we could sneak a little bit of E3 talk in, which was obviously the big video game trade show. Can't say that anything really has me, maybe I'm just a cynic tonight between Quentin Tarantino and E3, but yeah, nothing really jumped out at me. Halo 4 looks pretty good, but that might be it. I don't know. Anything? Mac, do you pay attention to any of this stuff?
I haven't, no. Yeah. I want to tune in because they're going to be talking about Assassin's Creed a lot.
That's right. There's a lot of Assassin's Creed. And I heard this a big one coming up, so right up your
that
alley.
Is, yeah, this November is going to be Assassin's Creed 3.
American Revolution.
That's right. They're doing away with all the stuff from Italy from the last three games, and it's going to be American Revolution.
Yeah, I heard good things about that. Yeah, so that'll
it looks
that'll
pretty
be
awesome.
Your alley. Yeah, there are a couple things that, you know, like Dead Space 3, which I'm all about, and Eric, did they announce the sequel? Yeah, the sequel to Castlevania, Lord of Shadows, right?
I don't know if they've talked about
it.
They have announced it, but yeah. I don't know. They have announced that it's coming out. There's a 3DS side-scrolling Castlevania.
Oh, yeah, that's
I think it's set in the same world, but it's not the one you're talking
about.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Which is a great game, by the way. So the first one was. But yeah, so I don't know. Everything just kind of left me eh. So I don't know. How about you, Eric? What are your thoughts?
I think E3, you kind of realize after kind of being excited about it for so many years, you realize it's not really for us.
Yeah, it's for investors.
It's for investors. It's for buyers, for the big chains. It's a trade show.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily trotting out all the huge announcements for people who just like to play games. And I watched all the big, console manufacturer press conferences, and they were all about what I would expect.
Yeah, and plus it's the end of this generation, really, so
sure,
you can't
sure.
expect a lot of new IP. And all that.
I mean, I guess it's sort of the end of the generation for Microsoft and Sony, and the beginning for Nintendo, the Wii U, which is, you know, you could argue about, you know, what part of the generation it is. But, you know, so you have kind of the trepidation or the kind of light schedule of a launch mixed with the end of the console cycle. So you get a lot of what you would expect, I think, from everybody. I'm interested in Halo 4. Nintendo continues to put out games that I will want to play because I like Mario, but that's kind of about all I can say for them. There's some cool stuff Sony showed. Last of Us looked pretty intense. But a lot of it is just either stuff we expect or stuff that's so far off it's hard to judge. The Microsoft Smart Glass technology could be interesting for those of us who have tablets or, you know, smartphones, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I would totally agree with that, actually. I think it tends to be, you know, a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth among, you know, the gamer crowd if, you know, huge megatons aren't dropped, but yeah, this is for people who are stockholders and whatnot, and you know, they want to make sure that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is getting exclusive content, or that another Mario Brothers is coming out. So
yeah. Probably the thing is weird. The thing that I think has excited me most out of the Sony conference is that they really seem to be beefing up their PlayStation Plus service.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, Microsoft has Xbox Live and their Gold service, which you pay for, I think, technically it's $60 a year, but you can always find deals.
Yeah.
And it gives you, online multiplayer, in addition to all their entertainment stuff, Netflix, Hulu, and so on. Sony has offered pretty much all of that stuff for free right out of the gate, so they can't charge for any of the stuff that Microsoft is charging for. So they've had to come up with another way to do stuff. And what they've done is they offer a lot of free games that you keep as long as you're a subscriber. And what they have now is what they're calling their instant game collection. So right out of the gate, you spend, you know, $4 to $6 a month, depending on what you do. And you can have these like big retail games in your collection to play immediately, which is pretty cool. I mean, for a while I've been looking at it and thinking, you know, this might be, you know, worthwhile. You get this, you get a few free games every month. You know, that's what more do you need if you're just going to kind of play?
Well, beta test and report back to us.
I'd be interested because I'm off Xbox Live Gold. I'm officially not paying for it anymore and not getting it, and I haven't missed it. So, you know, maybe I've moved on myself, Dave.
There you go. Well, as it comes to the point in all young men's lives, Eric, when they have to make choices. You know, they decide to move on or. Stay put. Who knows? Well, here's my question to you. New PlayStation, Xbox next year?
I assume so.
Yeah?
Everyone's saying 2013 for both of those systems. Yeah. I would assume so. They're both doing well enough. I've heard it said that if Microsoft, if their Kinect, camera motion controller hadn't taken off, then we probably would have seen something this year, which makes sense.
Yeah.
They're really kind of pushing to extend the life cycle as long as they can.
And really, they're probably just making money hand over fist now because it's still selling. And I can't imagine it's expensive to produce, so.
Yeah.
So, but I guess I still remain, the stuff that I actually want to play that I get excited about is third party and multi-platform, really.
Sure.
That's what it boils down to, I think, for me, so. Yeah, we shall see. All right. So enough of that tomfoolery. That's stuff we're working on for the site. Mac, what do you got?
So I've got a real sort of strange, bizarre movie that I'm writing a review for. It's called Don't Go in the Woods.
All right.
It's a slasher movie and it's a musical.
Excellent.
So, but the thing is, it's not played like comically or ironically. They're kind of playing it straight as a slasher musical. It doesn't really work, or it doesn't really work as well as it should. The slasher scenes are kind of tame, you know, just, you know, people walking in the woods and some dark figures chasing them. And the musical parts are just, you know, sitting around the campfire, strumming a guitar and singing a song. And they never really mesh the way they could. So, you know, I was hoping it would be something really just sort of off the wall and just completely nuts and crazy, but instead it was just kind of tepid.
Yeah. Well, so you think this is the beginning and the end of the slasher musical genre?
I would hope not. I would hope that someone else comes along and then really runs with it.
All right.
Whoever did Cop Rock should come back and do this.
That's right.
Who did Cop Rock? Someone famous, right?
Someone was it Bochco?
Yeah, that's right. That was Bochco, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He sure... never mind. He sure botched that one. All right, go ahead. That's yours.
This week I'm reviewing Wanderlust, which is the latest David Wayne movie. So a lot of State alums. It was co-written by David Wayne and Ken Marino. The big stars are Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston, but it's also got Joe Latrullio and Kerry Kenny Smith and
Joe Latrullio in a larger role, right?
Yeah, well, Joe, it's not a pun, I swear.
No. Oh, that's right. He's like a naked hippie in this, right?
Yeah. He's a nudist with a large prosthetic penis.
I did not know that.
Yes. Okay. There's in fact a bonus feature on the disc devoted to that. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm expecting big things.
How is it?
It's fine. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's much more of a standard, straightforward studio comedy than anything state-like.
Jennifer Aniston ruins everything again.
No, I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't blame her at all. I mean, they probably could blame producer Judd Apatow more than anything. Gotcha. It definitely has the feel of that kind of stable of movie.
All right.
It doesn't have any, like, I mean, even though there are quirky characters and kind of weird stuff happens, it's nowhere near the kind of the surreal quality of the state stuff. I mean, I think Wet Hot American Summer is probably the best film adaptation of the kind of humor they had on that show.
Right.
This is much more staid and just kind of standard stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
a segment in the 10 where the neighbors are competing over cats.
Right. Exactly. I mean, or marionette sex with Winona Ryder.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Weird stuff like those two movies, very much kind of state movies, for lack of a better.
Right.
And I haven't actually seen Role Models, but
Role Models. You're right. It's not state weirdness, but it's actually pretty funny.
I've heard that.
It's a favorite in our house. It's pretty funny. So maybe
it sort of seems like, and that I think was also co-written by Ken Marino.
Yeah, and like some of that stuff, like some of that absurd stuff sneaks through here or there. You know, so that's nice to see.
Sure, and it does here too. There are even some moments where they kind of reference it's not quite fourth wall breaking, but they reference things in real life that. That aren't in the movie world that kind of make jokes about. There are actually a couple deleted scenes that I watched in one where Jennifer Aniston casually, like, they mentioned the movie The Ten, and she said it's not very funny. Oh. And there's another one where, like, she's like tripping after she took some kind of, like, peyote, and Paul Rudd in her vision says, I loved working with you in the last season of Friends. So it's like, those jokes didn't make it in the movie, so you can see they kind of cut out some of that weird stuff. But it's uneven, but you know, I think for people who have stuck with those guys, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that. Maybe I feel like I owe it to him. Maybe so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. On my end, nothing really. Two fighting movies that take place in Thailand. Neither of which are worth anything. Down for the Count and Knockdown. I mean, they sound like they should be the same movie, and
exactly.
In my fever dreams, I wonder if they are, but I think they're different. So, yeah. terrible. So not one of them is inspired by true events. So, yeah.
So which, a lot of these cases are the movie's bad, but at least the fighting is good.
No, zero. No. Not good. Not good at all. So, yeah, just makes me once again yearn for the Blu-ray release of The Raid, which is never going to happen for me, apparently. I guess I just have to get used to that.
The movie was, just hit the theaters not that long ago, Dave. let's not be too defeatist after, a month.
don't harsh my lament. But those should be hitting the site pretty soon, and feel free to steer clear. Not the reviews. We appreciate the reading of the reviews and eating through the bandwidth. We like the traffic, but the movies aren't going to deliver much. And then actually, Curb Enthusiasm Season 8, which is a great show. And I thought, when I first watched this, when it was broadcast, part of me thought, this isn't as great as Season 7, which to me is an all-timers, the Seinfeld reunion show. But rewatching Season 8 for the review just revealed, this is really funny. And there's some legendary all-time Curb moments in this that I would another huge recommendation, a consistently excellent show, and one that hasn't won an Emmy. I know lost to meanwhile, 30 Rock has won 3 in a row, so lost to 30 Rock 3 times, but hey, what are you gonna do? So life isn't fair, but good show, good season, disturbing cover art. All right, Mac, onward and upward.
All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you listening and play along at home. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for June 12th, and just talk about whatever is on the list. Big Hollywood release has got to be a Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows.
Yeah. I didn't really float my boat as much as I thought it would.
It was a decent action movie, but it strayed too far from what the Holmes character is about, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of Sherlock Holmes, it's Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I guess. I could see that. I think he got away with it in the first one because it was kind of new and interesting. But yeah, the second one.
They took it a step farther away from who the character is.
So it looks like 3 of these re-releases of Spider-Man, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the new one's coming out.
That's right. Where's your hype level for the new one, Mac? Where's that?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I want it to be good just because it's Spider-Man, but I don't know. So I'll definitely see it, but I hope it's good, but yet I'm kind of going, I don't know.
All right.
It's one of those things where that could be a huge surprise hit, and I'm kind of surprised already that Prometheus is getting mixed reviews.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
Was this huge, how could it fail movie? And I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I totally want to see it, but it's definitely getting both good reviews and terrible reviews. So,
the thing that has me iffy on Spider-Man is that the fact that it's the origin story again.
I know. I really hope that they don't spend much time on that.
Yeah.
I got to put a shout out for a movie I've always wanted to see. Have never got around to seeing it because it's impossible to track down. But this cover art really makes it attractive once again. Red Scorpion.
Oh, yeah, with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, it looks pretty action-packed. And if you briefly look on the, if you just do a quick glance on the cover, it looks like half his face is missing. But, yeah, that's been something. Hopefully that shows up as a review product, because I don't want to sell $26 out for the Blu-ray, so. Who are the elite, Mac, in Superman versus the elite? Who are the elite?
The elite. Oh yeah, that's. I'm not too familiar with this one, but there are a bunch of other superheroes that come down to Earth, and they become more popular than Superman. And but Superman believes they're up to no good, and in the end, everyone learns a valuable lesson.
You just described that like an episode of Saved by the Bell, which would be great, but.
Ooh, how about Kill Speed? What are your thoughts on that? See, Kill Speed?
What does that say?
The car is racing a jet.
Live fast or die trying.
Isn't that someone else's tagline?
Probably.
The one right next to it there, which is obviously not about Game of Thrones, but Joffrey. Right next to Kill Speed, Joffrey.
Oh, yeah. Not Game of Thrones. I feel that everyone on that cover would have been executed by a game. And there's Ghost Rider.
Yep, Ghost Rider, good old Nicolas Cage, riding around Eastern Europe and the Badlands.
Did you watch that one?
I did. Oh. Yes, I was there on opening day.
Whoa.
How could I not?
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You really have to support these independent releases or else you're going to go.
Now, in Gamera the Brave, Gamera looks less brave and more surprised, maybe? Befuddled, perhaps? Maybe Gamera the Befuddled?
It's kind of hard to get facial expressions out of Gamera. Basically has his mouth open and his mouth closed.
Looks like he's about to kiss that other turtle.
All right, anything else? Going once, going twice, okay. All right, inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
3D Mystic Mountains.
It's 3D Mystic. That's good. That's good. Eric?
I'll go with All Screwed Up.
Nice. How about, I don't know what this means, Give Me the Banjo? Okay.
If you watch Wanderlust, you'll know what I mean.
Okay, let's wrap this up with our average topics. You know how this works. Eric, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. Senseless Slaughter.
Senseless Slaughter. As in, like just gratuitous, over the top?
However you want to just, however.
Gotcha.
You know, so this is a free, this is a safe place, Dave.
It is a safe
place. Free and open place.
All right, I'll go. There's a great bit in the first Blade movie when just before Blade confronts the bad guy at the end, there's a sequence where he's going through the bad guy's headquarters and he's just mowing down vampires left and right. And the techno music is, of course, playing, and you know, he's just killing them all, just you know, kill the whole way up until he gets to the bad guy. And there's a shot where the camera zooms in on him while the vampires are turning to dust and ash all around him. It's all about Blade.
Nice. All right, well, I would go with something that was just in my mind, and now I am forgetting it. Okay, I guess I'll go with the obvious. Just the relentless zombie slaughter in Dead Alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Just a lawnmower sequence. I would really love, love to see a proper, maybe, I don't know, does it exist, like a proper Blu-ray release with a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff? You know, I'd love to see a lot of those effects, how they were executed.
It is on Blu-ray, but I don't know what features it has.
I had the DVD, there's nothing really on it, so. If there's ever a making of, I'd want to see it be that movie.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. I recently rewatched Monty Python and the Holy Grail for another podcast, and I love the scene, the wedding scene.
That's good.
Where Chung, everything leading up to this moment is great, but when John Cleese bursts in because he thinks he's saving the beautiful princess, and he just kills everybody, just random people hanging around. He like kicks the bride in the face. There's all this stuff, and he goes and finds out that the beautiful maiden is actually Herbert, played by Terry Jones, the kind of albino, fey albino guy. So,
and while he's killing all the people at the wedding, the dancers in the background, they keep dancing.
Yeah. It's so great.
All right. Mac, how about you? What do you got?
Okay, my topic is strange and unusual airplanes.
I don't think the helicarrier would count, does it? probably not.
All right, well,
okay, go ahead. What do you have?
All right, well, I'll go with the film The Aviator, which is about Howard Hughes and his improbable spruce goose airplane that he wanted to build.
The Hercules.
Yeah, so yeah.
How about, I'm going to go with the B-52 bomber from Amazing Stories, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is that the segment with Kevin Costner when, they had to land and the poor artist was pinned underneath, like, the belly turret, and he magically drew some landing gear. Definitely went a place I wasn't expecting, so. Yeah. When he was drawing that, he was like, comatose or something. Wasn't that?
He was doing like mind over matter. He was trying so hard.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's when they got him out of the plane, he snaps out of it, and that's when the cartoon wheels fade away and the underbelly gets crushed.
Nice.
That's some good stuff.
That is some good stuff. And that's the same one Christopher Lloyd, that his segment too, right?
Well, it was 2 hour long episodes of the show.
Oh, okay.
And then they released him on home video as the movie.
Okay. Nice.
But yeah. Oh, that Christopher Lloyd one is also great.
Right? Yeah, that's
just over the top
so nice.
As the evil teacher. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mac. To you.
Well, mine. Well, again, talking about that other podcast. I will say it. It's our good friends across the street at F This Movie.
Of course.
They're doing this thing where they're watching a movie by a different star every day this month. And they start out with Jimmy Stewart. So I was going to play along trying to look for a Jimmy Stewart movie that I could watch, you know, online for free.
Nice.
And that led me to Airport 77. And this movie is my new sick fascination.
Now, this is the movie that inspired Airplane, right?
One of them. There was a lot of these in the 70s. But, yeah, this Airport 77, the airplane itself is like this, the airplane of the future. It's like a luxury plane. So instead of seats like in a row, there's like seats sitting around little tables, you know, so it's all like, you know, it looks more like the inside of a restaurant than does an airplane. And at one point they bring out the Laserdisc player to watch
it. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And you should see the size of this disc that they put into the Laserdisc player. It's like, it's not even, like a Laserdisc is about the size of an LP. But this thing was even bigger than that. It's like one of those big trays at a restaurant that they put like four plates on.
Yeah, sounds really convenient. Yeah.
They put that inside the giant Laserdisc machine and watch their little movie.
This holds 18K of data.
Exactly, yes. It's 20 minutes of a movie.
Reminds me of the Sega Genesis cartridges that would say 8 megs. Now, what does that mean? Huh? Does it mean anything?
So, but then again, because this movie is my new sick fascination, I was looking it up online, and Universal Studios used to have an attraction based on Airport 77. It was a plane crash simulator where people and their families could go and they would sit on that plane in the movie. And it would rock back and forth.
Yikes.
And everyone would flail their arms and pretend like the plane's crashing. And then you'd get a videotape of yourselves on the plane as it's crashing, spliced together with footage from the movie.
That is pretty ghoulish.
So, yes.
Simpler times back then.
I guess so.
Did they also have a ride where you could ride the A-bomb down to the Earth like Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome, too. The Airport 77 attraction actually replaced the Atom 12 attraction, where people could act as if they were in an Atom 12 episode.
Oh, though was 70s. You're so wacky.
Is that, again, another Arrested Development, right? The tunnel of love and jubilee. Oh, that was. Okay, mine for you guys is Vans. Vans of Note. That's what we'll call it. Vans of Note.
Vans of Note.
First one that comes to mind has got to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles van.
Oh, really? Okay.
Wow.
That didn't even cross my radar.
Really? it was pretty awesome. You know, it was all painted bright yellow, had a big green turtle shell on top, you know, to be inconspicuous.
Yeah, really. And, just as inconspicuous as April's yellow jumpsuit, right?
Exactly.
The standard issue for all reporters, newspaper report, TV reporters.
Investigative journalists.
That's right.
But the turtle van, you know, the shell at the top would pop open. They would jump out with their ninja moves, and the side door would swing open with the giant pizza gun that shot pizzas at the bad guys.
I wasn't aware of that.
You know, they didn't use it in the cartoon very often, but you can bet that they showed that on every commercial for the toy. And there's also the supercomputer inside, so Donatello would sit at the supercomputer and, like, do science stuff.
How do they buy these things? How do they go about purchasing it? Like, we know how Batman did it. They spell it out, Batman Begins, but how do the turtles raise the capital for all this stuff? That's what
I think it was the news van, and, like, Donatello just used his science genius and, like, built stuff onto it, right?
Okay, all right.
I think.
Did you say they shot pizzas?
That's what you said.
I want to make sure
I heard that correctly. Gun, a disc shooter. It was huge and it shot pizzas.
That's the best weapon they could come up with. It's like really hot. I mean, cheese, melted cheese, very dangerous. You can burn yourself badly. But
yes,
maybe just the high calorie.
And then Michelangelo would be sad because they were shooting the pizzas instead of eating them.
As well, he should be. That's
ridiculous. That's a wanton waste of food. Very good. Eric, you had a van of note?
Yeah, well, the two that came to mind before the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles van, I'll pick one. I will go with the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, sure.
Which is, you know, purple and green, no, really, really no less, conspicuous than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles van. But, you know, plenty of room in front for the, you know, for Freddy, Daphne, and Velma. And
That's
then,
right.
Lots of room in the back for the pot smoking, boy and his dog.
That's right. All right. Well, the A-Team van made it through unscathed. So
that was my other one.
That's your fallback.
I thought of that one too. Yeah.
All right. Well, my van is going to be one of the most terrifying vans in cinematic history. That is, of course, the van driven by the Libyans in Back to the Future. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, so when that white van shows up for the second time, you know, bad things are about to happen. You know, of course, I never understood why Marty just didn't turn the flux capacitor back, you know, an extra 20 minutes or something, you know. Your best friend's going to get gunned down. Don't say, 15 minutes ought to do it.
Wait, didn't he do something like that, but then the car wouldn't start, so he had to run?
Yeah,
to the mall?
Because that's what his problem was. He's like, I'm in a time machine. I have all the time in the world, because he was going to go back in time to warn Doc Brown. But he says, 15 minutes ought to do it. Really? You know? So,
that was in the 80s. That was before our supersized society did.
Yeah, I guess they were more efficient.
Had all this extra time.
That's why they were more efficient in the 80s.
I don't know about that van, though. It's just that one little photo mat place just took out the van.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't much the sturdiness of the van. It was more its, you know, the lethal scientist that was toting around, I guess.
The ominous menace.
That'd be a good ringtone. Libyans! You know? How long of the day can you go through before you offend someone? Okay. Well, that is it. Might as well add that, finish on that note. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is the email. Thank you for listening. Much appreciated. And Mac, why don't you take us away?
Doing what had to be done, living under the gun.